let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The great little book of stress release by R. Duncan Wallace, M.D. is called The Stress Releasing Tool, a book that saved my life, a guide to improve the quality of your life. As a doctor of the human psyche for 54 years, R. Duncan Wallace, M.D. has discovered valuable psychological truths that create most of our mental and emotional functioning in all areas of living. Rarely are they used knowingly because they are largely unconscious and unknown until now. In the great little book of stress release, Dr. Wallace discusses their application to the area of stress. You'll learn how to instantly remove most stress, what causes 95% of stress, why most stress is unnecessary, and how to eventually eliminate most stress. R. Duncan Wallace, M.D. has practiced psychiatry for 54 years, including serving as medical doctor for 8 psychiatric hospitals and 11 inpatient programs. He's a former president at the Utah Psychiatric Association, married, 6 grown children, lives in Salt Lake City, Utah. R. Duncan Wallace, M.D., author of the great little book of stress release, our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Wallace, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Rick. I'm delighted to be here, and I feel it's important, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, I feel it's important, and thank you for being here. It's something we're all dealing with, especially in these times, is stress-related situations. First of all, let's talk about the why. Why did you decide to write this book, The Great Little Book of Stress Release? How did this come about?
Well, what I can tell you is I began to make discoveries beyond what I'd been taught or learned in training after I'd been out into the field for maybe 2 to 3 years. And I was able to make discoveries about how people would spend their session and how it would go, what I could learn and teach them. And I myself was a tremendous stress producer, always was, and I would feel strongly and much mental pressure in my mind. I noticed many of my patients did. So then I began to work on what was causing it. I would ask them and myself questions and eventually began to figure out what seemed to make it happen. What I ended up discovering was a very simple but powerful thing that created stress. If one violates the logic of future happenings, in the sense that I'm going to cause this to occur, I want to do this, I would like to do that, and you say to yourself, and this is one that just about 95% of people use, I must do this today, I've got to get it done, I've got to hurry up so I can get home and feed the kids, or I've got to hurry up because I got a show to put on tonight, or this, and oh, I can't let that happen, it can't happen to me. And I began to notice and hear, and notice in myself, and you can do this experiment yourself, if you use absolute certain statements about the future when you're motivating yourself, your self-talk, as you decide to go forward, you create tremendous pressure in your mind. I even had a favorite friend who one time said, oh boy, she said, I get up in the morning, she taught school, I have to get the kids off to school, got to get them breakfast, then I got to go to the store, get some food for dinner tonight, and then I got to stop and get the mail on the way home, got to correct some papers, then I get my daughter to a dance class. And by the end of the day, I'm just exhausted.
I'm exhausted so, hearing about what she's going through.
Yeah. And so she would get a lot of pressure. So I ended up realizing that crucial absolute thinking, the must, the have to, the no exceptions about the future was what was creating the mental pressure. And so I quickly thought, well, how do I stop my own? And I began to do experiments with different thought patterns. And I eventually found my favorite one is, nothing is necessary, things are preferable. I'll do it if I'm able. Now that's a lot to say every time you're saying, there's this to do and this to do and this to do. But instead of saying I must or I have to, I shorten it to nothing is necessary. If you look at people thinking about the future, I say, now look, why not see what you did in the past? How did you accomplish that? How did you cause that little thing to happen when you had that day and you did 5 or 6 things? They said, well, I did this, and then I started that. I got interrupted, but then I went to that, and then I did this, and, you know, and that's how I did it. I said, right. I said, is there any pressure in that statement? Well, no. I said, right. Why not? Well, I don't know. I said, because you're not applying different logic to the future. If you just say, I will do this, I'm able, you don't feel pressure.
This is such an amazing concept in Dr. Wallace's book. The book is The Great Little Book of Stress Release, R. Duncan Wallace, M.D. You talk about you were able to get your mind into what you call a continuous state of active tranquility. I love that. You said it pretty much changed your life. You laugh more. You're able to take things as they come in stride. Talk about that, passing it on to others. And is this something you can teach to a variety of people?
Oh, sure. And I have done so. I discovered this in 1981 myself. And then I began to apply it, and I would catch myself starting to use a pressure statement like, I must, I have to, I've got patients coming in and a talk tonight. Wait a minute, nothing's necessary. I'll do it if I'm able. If I can't get it done, I won't be done. I began to think and talk like that. And after 3 years, I never created pressure again. I've been pressure-free since that time. So I thought, wow, this is important. And I do laugh a lot. I found my sleep need went down about 2 hours a night after I did that because I wasn't wasting energy all day long. So things were a lot better. And so I began to teach this to my patients. They liked it. I had a group that met for 13 years and discussed concepts that I would discover during the week. And we'd discuss them and elaborate them. And this was one of the most obvious. And what I realized is I had a stepdaughter that says, oh boy, I'm all stressed out. It's been a busy day. She's a mental health person. And she seemed to be almost, said it with almost a sense of pride that she'd done so much, she was all stressed out. And then I taught her how not to do that. And she's even lectured to her hospitals on this concept. It can be taught in big, large groups. In 1982 at the University of Utah, after discovering this, I taught 400 women in the fall conference how to not create mental pressure. I asked them at the start of the lecture and demonstration, I even had them stand up and do certain exercises to get the idea. Seven out of 400 thought that they may create the stress themselves. 393 did not. And they thought the boss did it or somebody else caused it. And that was the reason for it. So by the end of the lecture, after I helped them to demonstrate it, they were able to realize that 393 realized they created the mental pressure in themselves. It wasn't the boss. It wasn't the job to do. It was the way they thought and talked to themselves about it. Seven still thought it came from the outside, but that's a pretty good reversal.
Well, it really is.
In a short period of time.
You talk in the book a lot about truth and how important that is in really assessing our situation. And you talk about everybody, and starting with you, and this came about literally talking over years with thousands of your clients, of your patients, the releaser thought. What is the releaser thought, and can all of us implement that in our daily lives in trying to de-stress?
Absolutely, and that's the quick, fun thing about it. My favorite releaser thought is simply a true thought about the reality of how we accomplish things and whether or not we would be able to. Look, if you don't have the ability to do it, you can't accomplish it, even if you want to. If you have the ability and you have the time and you don't get interrupted by something else and change priority, you will accomplish what you set out to do. And so there are a lot of factors that go into it, and your mind knows that sometimes you get interrupted, change priorities. If your son just has a bicycle accident, breaks his leg, they're taking him to the university hospital, you stop what you're doing. You don't pick up the groceries that day. You know, you get something else done. So the mind, your mind through living through thousands of experiences, lifetime, you really know what the truth of reality is, that you will do this or you will do that. based on the most important thing. So I thought, okay, what's a good truth thought? And I thought of every possibility I could, and the most pervasive was nothing is necessary. Everything, certain things are preferable or more desirable to do now than others. And I found my mind relaxed. And I found when I did that, I could almost feel a hum of neutrality. I call it active tranquility. It was a wonderful feeling. I felt like I was in peace about it. And my mind, I even felt like I was on vacation all the time. Even when I was working, I thought, wow, this is amazing. I don't pressure like I used to. I'm relaxed. Yes. And so I started teaching people and asking them to create the truth about how they, what they do to accomplish something. And when they would just say it in a matter-of-fact manner, they would come up with things, well, I'll do the best I can. I'll do it if I'm able. Gosh, that sounds important. Let's get to it. When you say that, there's no pressure. But if you say, I must do that, I've got to get that done, you can suddenly feel your hands clenching, and you can feel tight all over.
Yes.
And I would have people close their eyes and take them through those kinds of sayings in their mind and ask them to tell me what they felt, or the rest of the group. And every time, the one was pressure when they used the absolutes, and the one was clear and no pressure and pleasantness when they didn't.
You know, you mentioned...
This is important. Wow.
Yeah, you mentioned the group before where most people overwhelmingly thought that pressure was outside factors. It wasn't something they created. But as you're talking about that and you're thinking, you know, that pressure comes from my thought, not necessarily the reality of the situation, but how I perceive that reality and the pressure I put on myself. The book is The Great Little Book of Stress Release. The author is R. Duncan Wallace, M.D. You'll find it on sale at all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the U.K., Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and a whole lot more. And information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about some of the illogical thought patterns that most of us probably unknowingly use. What are some of those so we can avoid these?
Well, for sure, on creating mental pressure, stress, again, I've got to do this, I must, I have to. I've got to not let this happen. If you're thinking something bad is going to occur, you try to resist it and hold it out. We can't let this happen. It'll wreck everything if it does. And you start using those absolute statements about the future because it could happen. That's the whole point.
Yes.
Instead of saying this could happen, let's prevent it if we're able. No pressure. But the other way, there is pressure. And I had that same friend who did all those things in the day and would be exhausted at night. She was what I call a chain linker. She would link all of her musts and have to's. I've got to do this so then I can do that, and then I've got to do something else so that I don't let that happen. And then, and she would chain link about 30 or 40 do's and must do's by the end of the day, and she would think through them. Of course, when she accomplished one, she could drop that off the list. So the reason I call it chain linking, I say to people, how heavy is a chain link fence that's lying on the ground, 50 feet of it? How heavy is that to lift and try and put in place? It's a visual analogy. They get the point. I said, so you're chain linking all these musts and have to's. You're putting that much added pressure on yourself. How much more can you really take? A lot of people blow up when they hit that point. My daughter had a neighbor in a little cubicle next to her. She was working on financial products for a company, and her neighbor named Chad would just throw his things across the room. And every time he'd get stressed, he'd blow up and create a heck of a mess.
Yes.
And she said, oh, my gosh, if only he knew. Because by then she knew it, you know. So
it's such
the illogical type of thinking patterns that people tend to put on themselves.
Well, and you talk about that so much. They are trying to get certainty ahead of time. It's illogical.
Yes.
And can't be done. And when you think about it, that's so true. We're working in our minds and we're trying to resolve situations that are in the future. We can't do that, can we?
No, we can't. As a matter of fact, a surgeon friend of mine who's a brilliant Harvard-trained surgeon said, oh, I see, you're trying to force the future. That was the way he described it. And you can't do that. Look, the future's got uncertainties. Even if you've got everything nailed down ahead of time and you think, okay, this should work out, there could be a change. There could be a shift in priority. Something else could happen. We had an earthquake here 1 year ago. That obviously stopped us from doing what we planned on doing while the earthquake happened. Things will occur. So you can't get certainty ahead of time. That's illogical. What you do know is the future is uncertain. And the way you handle the uncertainties of any kind is try to produce best ways of doing to complete the situation and make it certain, that is the certainty of completion on any project you're doing. And then you let go and do something else. But people are saying they need to do that ahead of time. And you can't. You can't do that. You can say it, but you can't do it.
But you can't do that. And if you say it, you're planning it in your mind, it seems like, and then it becomes your reality. You're trying to do it. Our guest on the program is R. Duncan Wallace, MD, author of the book, The Great Little Book of Stress Release. We'll have more with Dr. Wallace after these messages you're listening to This Week in America. We'll be right back. Welcome back to This Week in America. Our guest on the program is R. Duncan Wallace, MD. The book is The Great Little Book of Stress Release. Doctor, I want to go back and talk about releaser thoughts again. You mentioned that at the beginning of the interview. These are so important because they're logical thoughts that will get us through the future, dealing with the future, and do it in a less stressful way. Give us an example. What are some of the releaser thoughts that we can use to get through this?
Well, a releaser thought has to be the truth about the possibility of the situation. And since the job you're intending to do, the task, is in the future, a releaser thought is a truth thought such as, I will do it if I'm able. I want to do it. I'm able to do these things. If I have enough time and if I have enough expertise, I will be able to accomplish it if something doesn't interrupt me. So the releaser thought of I'll do it if I'm able, or I'll do the best I can, or my favorite, nothing is necessary, is a truth thought. And so a releaser thought is a truth thought. And the minute you say that, you feel your mind relax. You can say it quietly or out loud, doesn't matter. Your mind immediately relaxes, gets into that active, tranquil feeling. And the next time you start pressuring yourself again or feel it, give yourself your own chosen releaser thought, which is simply the truth about this situation, and your pressure goes away immediately. So I like to give people five or six choices. After you've done releaser thoughts for many months, being better and better each time, like for me, when I did the releaser thought, I would find that I would get pressure three times a day during my practice instead of maybe 10. Within 2 weeks, I got it down to about three times a week. Eventually, once every 3 weeks, then once every 3 months, and finally, never again. My mind had been reprogrammed to think and say accurately about tasks that we intend to do. Nothing is necessary. Things are preferable. Right. But now I know that, so I just take a sigh and say, oh, I did it again. And that I may have done that 10 times in the last 40 years.
The thing that's so impressive is you've done this with thousands of people and you've seen how this actually works. You take them through this process. Yeah. Why do you think so many of us use these self-pressuring thoughts? And when we do that, they become stress-creating thoughts. It seems so illogical when you think it through. I'm creating my own stress. Why do we continue to do this, do you think?
Well, I've often pondered that. My best thought is, when you're a little kid, for instance, you got toys strewn around the room, your parents say, pick up your toys or you can't go outside, or you'd better not do that or I'll get you a spanking, or stop, don't, you can't do that, nope. You hear a lot of those kinds of absolute statements, and a lot of them are useful to protect you from putting something in a light socket, for instance, or an electrical socket. Don't do that is very important, even if it creates some pressure. Then you go to school, and they tell you you can't go out to recess until you've done your homework or your schoolwork, and then you can go out, or you have to complete this, or you can't do that, or you can't leave school until we get this problem resolved, etc. And so you hear all these can'ts and things put on you by authoritarian figures. And if you listen, you hear everybody using those terms. One exercise everybody who's listening ought to do is just start listening to people around you. How often they use don't, you can't, you must, you have to.
Yes.
And those all got instilled in us by being given to us when we were little and training us. Then by the time you get into motivating yourself on situations, as I remember in high school, you start saying, I've got to do this, I must do this, I've got to be the best, I have to, I'm going to beat that guy, that competitor, I'll do this, I'll do that. And pretty soon you're just living off your own self-created pressuring thoughts. And you use them everywhere you're dealing with things. You don't think logically because you think reflexively the way you've been taught. It's instilled within you and away you go, doing it for the rest of your life. Unless you stop, think, and start to give yourself releasers, release your thoughts, and then retrain yourself to think better.
A couple minutes left in the program. The book is The Great Little Book of Stress Release. R. Duncan Wallace, our guest, MD. You'll find the book at pageturner.us, Amazon, all the usual places. Somebody's probably listening and going, but yeah, there are things that I have that are highly important that I get done. I've got a boss that gives me a certain time frame to do these. How can I do that and talk to myself without giving me the pressure that's going to overstress me?
Well, the way to do that is look and see what you have to do and go about doing, say, okay, I'll do this if I'm able. And you get near the deadline that the boss is saying, or and maybe he even comes in with a new, he or she comes in with a new interruption to do something else and set other things aside. And you realize you got way too much to do in the time applied and allowed. So you say to the boss, look, I've got a lot to do and I'll get it done at some point, but it's actually impossible for my way of looking to do all that by 5 p.m. when you want it done. So give me the priority, the one you want me to work on most, and I'll do that as well as I'm able and complete as much of it as I have time for. I'll be glad to do it. So you do that, you put it back on him, so you don't just beat it up on yourself, on, you know, that I have to do it.
You know, there's so many books you read on stress, and they maybe have minimal impact. Here's a book that's understandable, it's relatable, it's doable, it works, The Great Little Book of Stress Release. It's just changing the thought patterns. And again, it goes back to the truth. When you lay out the truth, you understand most of my problems are self-inflicted. Therefore, I should be able to go back and reverse these. A minute or so left. I know you've got another book that you've written about psychological truths. Tell me about that as we wrap up the program.
Very good. So I wrote this book I worked on it, writing it for 10 years and published it first in 2011. I've done one revision, and now I'm doing a rebranding revision. So it'll be out again soon. It contains approximately 40 psychological truths in various areas of our living. The basic bedrock truth that works best with the reality of a situation. And for instance, one of my favorites is pain of the mind, like anger, frustration, guilt, or some other kind of psychological pain is created if you violate a basic psychological truth and you create a pain specific to that truth. For instance, if you get anger, it's because you suddenly got interrupted by a situation. A lot of people go ahead and keep getting interrupted, keep getting angry, and, you know, like somebody knocks the books out of their arms or somebody cuts in front of them with a car. And in the end, if they stand back and say, how's the best way to handle it briefly? Okay, I won't chase the guy down in a car. I'll be smart. I'm in traffic. Let it go. They make a decision. But eventually, things that give you frustrated experiences, anger, sadness, guilt, those are areas that you haven't figured out how to handle them smoothly. If you know how to handle them smoothly, you just do it. You know, that's your ability. So you eventually learn what that obstructive pain of truth violation causes you. And you rearrange your thinking to a creative solution that handles it. And you don't get that same emotion over that same experience again. You don't get mad over the same darn thing again. Something new will happen and you might. But so there, then you're able to begin to convert pains into new discoveries. And that's amazing. I mean, I really like that. And so I ask people, how many mental or emotional pains do you get in a month? They'll say 30, 40, 50. And I say, okay, how many of those did you analyze and convert the new discovery and put it in your repertoire of good life handling? None. I said, how many opportunities did you miss?
Yes.
About 50. Okay. I said, you'll learn far more. You'll increase far faster. You'll gain more knowledge, and you will find you really love life. And so the truths of my other book, The Book of Psychological Truths, there's probably 40 of them. And they're in areas like how you master things, how you accomplish things, how you increase. Also, the pains of the mind, how not to give your power away and what it does to you when you do. Just a whole bunch, including communication and relationship patterns that create truths. Like the definition of an argument is two people trying to stab themselves from their own points of view. And in that is an explanation of how to get off it.
Yes, and I hope we have a chance to talk about that book as well. This has been such an experience having you on the program. And as you're describing that, we can be caught up in traffic, cut off in traffic. We don't have to let it ruin our day unless we choose to. I love that. A stress-free commute, yeah, possibly in your life. And in the book, The Great Little Book of Stress Release by R. Duncan Wallace, MD, there's a blueprint to do all of this. It actually works. It makes sense. Once you understand it makes sense, it will change your life. It's an excellent book, The Great Little Book of Stress Release. Dr. Wallace, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
I would love to, Rick. Thank you so much for having me and having the opportunity to present this.
It has been our pleasure. And the book, by the way, available at all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand, and a lot more. Literally all around the world, wherever books are sold, you'll find The Great Little Book of Stress Release by R. Duncan Wallace, MD. We're back on This Week in America after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.